This morning we are going to be in a passage in 1 Kings, it's chapter 19, so if you want to turn there. We are going to go through a passage that I think is something that I know I need constantly. And I'm sure you do too. This is a passage, and so many times it's Elijah, and it's a passage that we are familiar with, I'm sure. But it's also, sometimes we get that thought of Elijah, which he was one of the great heroes of God. We sang a song just a minute ago, and one day we'll stand beside the heroes of heaven, and I'm thinking, oh man, I'm in trouble after Elijah hears this sermon. Because it's really what it's doing, it's showing us, like it says in the New Testament, Elijah prayed and he was a man just like us. That's scary for me to think if I'm a man just like Elijah and he did the things he did, man, I am falling short. I need to step up. But it's one of those things that we need to make sure that we understand what God calls us to do and where God puts us. And that's where today's message is. So we're going to start in verse 1. And read, if you would, with me. It says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.' Then as he lay there and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So he said, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then he said, 'Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael, the king of Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, Mehelo, you shall anoint as prophet in your place.'" Let's pray. God, I pray this morning that you take this passage, that your Spirit would move in this place. You would open our hearts. Lord, show us where we are. Show us where we need to be. Lord, we lift this time to You. In Your precious name I pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, like I said so many times, we build Elijah up. Excuse me, I'll probably do that a couple times a day. But we build Elijah up, and he was a hero of God. He was a man of God. Right prior to this, he had been on Mount Carmel, and he called down fire from heaven. And it consumed a sacrifice. And then God gave him the power and the ability, and they were able to kill the 450 prophets of Baal. And then right after that, he's praying because there had been a drought, and he's down praying, and the drought is relieved because God hears him from heaven. And while he's on that mountain, the power of God comes on him, and he girds up his tunic in his belt, and he gets up and he runs, and he outruns the chariots and the horses back to Jezreel. The power of God he had seen in every way. He had seen it call down from heaven. He had seen it affect the earth. He had felt it affect him and the power to outrun horses. And then this happened. He finds himself underneath a juniper tree or a broom tree, depending on your translation. But it's underneath this tree that has a great fragrance. It's got these little white leaves and a great shade tree. And he's laying underneath it because he's had enough. Have you ever got to that point in your life? Man, you just come off the greatest time with God. You've seen God move in your life. You've seen God move around you. And then the next thing you know, you turn around and you look, and you're under a juniper tree. Man, that happens. If you're going to say it doesn't happen to you, I want to know your secret. Because it happens to me all the time. Somebody says, well, you're just expecting too much. Yeah, I am. I've got a God, and I can expect that. Because my God is all powerful. But when he's underneath that juniper tree, he is exhausted. He's done. He's praying to die. I'm no better than my fathers. They're dead. I might as well be dead. Now, we may not be to that extent, but we've been where he's at. We've been wore out. We've been tired. We just feel like, what is going wrong? What am I doing wrong? And I love this because God sees underneath your juniper tree. Understand that when he gave up, God didn't. When you give up, God's not going to. You are underneath that juniper tree and you are laying there, and what happens? The angel of God comes and touches him. And that's all it takes, is a touch from God. But so many times God touches us. Here, God touches him and says, arise, eat. And man, he's out in the wilderness. He's a day's walk out in the wilderness. He had left his servant at Beersheba, and he walks another day out into the wilderness. And here he is with nobody around. He's given up on life and laying under that tree, and the angel says, hey, wake up and eat that. And he looks over and here's cake. Oh, man. That's a good day to wake up right there. To wake up and there's cake. Cake prepared by God. And so he tells him to arise and eat. He's touched him. He's given him what he needed. And Elijah does what we do. We take what God gives us, and then we roll over and go back to sleep. Man, how many times have we done that? How many times have we just, we know God has done something miraculous. Now, maybe it's not a cake baked on a coal of, a bed of coals, but God has done something in our lives, and the next thing we know, we're just willing to turn around, roll over, and go back to sleep. We do it. That's what Elijah did. And so the angel comes back a second time. I love that God always is a God of not just second chances, but third and fourth and so on. And he gives him that second chance, and he touches him again. And, says, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Understand what that passage says right there. The journey is too great for you. This is Elijah calling down fire from heaven, praying for rain to end the drought, outrunning horses with the power of God. And this journey is too long for you. But you and I think we can make a journey on our own. We try to make this journey without the power of God. This angel tells him, he says, this power, this journey that you're going to be sent on is too great for you. So he arose and he ate and drank. And the food that he ate and drank sustained him for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't know what was in that cake and what was in that water, but I've never had that. Because if I eat at 8:30 in the morning, by 12, I'm looking for some more cake. You know, I mean, that's what we do. But God knew the journey and gave him everything he needed for the journey that God called him on. You and I, God's got a journey. I don't know where you're at in your journey. You don't know where I'm at in mine. But we know that if God has called us on that journey, he will give us what will sustain us. When it makes no sense to anybody else, a meal that would last you 40 days and 40 nights makes no sense to this world. How God is going to sustain you and me makes no sense to this world. But he has that power. He has that ability. He has that desire to sustain you. He knows how you feel and he knows what you need. Goes on. He goes on a journey, and I always assumed, well, man, he's went 40 days and 40 nights. He's doing really well. But he's in a cave, and I don't think he's supposed to be in that cave. He goes in to spend the night, and God asks this question, what are you doing here? By the time we're done, I hope you ask that question to yourself. God asks him, says, Elijah, what are you doing here? I had a journey for you. I had the power to sustain you with all the food that you needed for 40 days and 40 nights. I called you somewhere and you're in a cave. What are you doing here? God has called you on a journey. What are you doing where you're at? That's the question. And unfortunately, sometimes our answers are so much like Elijah's. I've been very zealous for you. God, I've done all this stuff. Lord, I've been in the ministry for this long. Or Lord, I've taught this Sunday school class. Or I've taught this Bible study. Or I get up and pray every day. Or I minister every chance I get. God, I've done all of these things for you. Do you get the first word in that? I am zealous for you, God. He's thinking about himself. He goes on and he says, the children have forsaken you. The children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. God, I told these people. I've shared Jesus with them and they're not listening. I've done what you called me to do, Lord. I've done this and it's not working. Those people out there on the street aren't listening. Again, he's focused on what he's done. I'm the only one left. No, there was a lot more. But he wasn't focused on the others that were doing it. He was focused on himself. And so when God says, what are you doing here? I hope your answer is not focused on you. He goes on. God knows how he feels. God knows what he needs. God knows where he is. And God doesn't want to leave him there. And this is Elijah. He's a great guy. He says, God, I've done all this stuff for you, but now I'm all alone. Verse 11, he says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. God gives him directions. Here he is in the back of this cave, and God says, go out and stand on the mountain. What direction has God given you? If you say he hasn't given you any, it's because you're not reading the Bible. If you say, well, I haven't heard him lately, it's because you're not listening. Because the God of heaven still speaks. It's just the people of God sometimes don't listen like they should. And I'm putting myself in that group. What we have to understand is that when God gets this response, God sees where he's at. God already knew where he was at, but God wanted him to acknowledge it. I think he acknowledged it, but I don't think he understood it. So God tells him to go stand out on the mountain before the Lord. And what happens? God sends a strong wind, and then he sends an earthquake, and then he sends fire. But God is not in any of those things. There are miracles going on all around my life, but if I'm not listening to God, they're on the outside of the cave. And I'm way back in the cave. And he tells them, go stand before the Lord. And this small voice, Elijah heard it. But I want you to understand where he was at when he heard that small voice. He had been told to go stand outside on the mountain. You know, this is the same mountain. It's actually Sinai, Horeb. It's the same mountain that Moses spoke to God. And God put Moses in the cleft of the rock. And then he passed by and Moses was able to see his glory. Same mountain. I wonder if that cleft of the rock was near this cave. But what happens is he tells him something. We don't know what he says in that still small voice. Man, I wish I knew what that was. Because he'd already told him to get up, eat, go on this journey. Then he tells him to go and stand out before the mountain. And all these miraculous things happen and he's still back in the cave. And then that still small voice speaks to him. And I don't think we're supposed to know what it said. Because you don't know what God says to me and I don't know what God says to you. It's none of my business what that still small voice said to Elijah. It was just for Elijah to follow. And what God calls you to do, you're to do. So what happens is when he hears that still small voice, he comes out to the entrance to the cave. And we think, man, he finally is catching on. Don't think he is. I don't think he's catching on quite yet because he goes to the mouth of the cave. You and I very often go to the mouth of the cave. But where did God send him? To stand out on the mountain. Go out into the open. Leave your security. Be visible out on my mountain. He came as far as the entrance to the cave because he still had security in the cave. He heard and he kind of followed, but he didn't obey. Turn that back. He goes on and he gets to the next thing he's supposed to do. He's supposed to go out into the open. And he's supposed to stand on that mountain. And don't cower in the cave, Elijah. Stand up on that mountain. Get out there. Be visible. Go where I tell you to go. We don't do that. It's too easy to stay in our cave. He says to go stand out on the mountain. And then he says at the end of that, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. Think about the opportunity that Elijah has right here. God tells him to go stand out on the mountain, which is great. but go stand out there before me. He's being told, you have an opportunity to stand before the Lord. If you'll just go out of this cave, if you'll just get out on that mountain, you'll be right before me. Man, who would not do that? This man had spoke to God and heard God answer and seen God answer, and now God is saying, go out and stand before me. He's like, well, I'll go to the edge of the cave because I can still run back into that cave anytime that danger comes. That's not what God calls you to do for faith. He calls you to get out of the cave. He doesn't call you to go to the entrance to the cave. He calls you to go stand out on the mountain before Him. I'm going to close with just a few things here. This is what God told me this week. To get out of the mouth of the cave. And I preach these messages every Sunday morning, and I get hammered all week long. And I'm getting hammered right now because God says, get out of the mouth of the cave. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're still under a juniper tree, if you haven't realized what God has provided for you. He has provided Jesus' death on the cross for you, so you don't have to lay there wishing there's nothing better than dying. He's provided Jesus' death on the cross because He loves you. Because He wants you to have a relationship with Him. A relationship with the God of heaven. You don't have to be under that juniper tree. But you got to let Him touch you. That's what He did to Elijah. He reached down and touched him and got him out from underneath that juniper tree. And some of us, we've been out from underneath that juniper tree for a while. But we lost our focus and it became about us. And the next thing you know, we're in the back of a cave. I don't know if you're in the back of a cave because you've lost your focus and your focus is no longer God in the center of my life. If God is not the center of our life, then He's not the Lord of our life. And you're going to wake up one day and you're going to see that you're in the back of a cave. You've been to those days when it just seems like there's no daylight at the end. It's because you're standing in a cave. You're not in a tunnel, you're in a cave. And the only way to come out of that cave is to listen to the voice of God. There are people who say, man, look at all the miracles God's doing around you. Hey, He did miracles here. He listed three of them. But He wasn't in the miracles. It's not in the miracles, it's in the God of the miracles. It's in the God that created the miracles. It's where we're at. That's where our focus is. Maybe you've listened and you've got to the mouth of the cave. But look at what Elijah missed. We don't even know, but think about this. And I know later on, before too long, Elijah is going to be taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And he's one of two people that the Bible records that didn't have to physically die. So what a blessing that is that he received that day. But what did he miss this day? Because he was told to get out on the mountain and stand before God. What did he miss by staying in the mouth of the cave? Because God came back and said, what are you doing here? And his response didn't change. Still focused on himself. Still felt all alone. Still felt like nobody was listening to him. You know, I can stand up here and talk all day, and it doesn't matter whether you listen to me or not. What matters is I do what God tells me to do. If you sit there, whether you listen or not, it doesn't matter. It's what God tells you to do. But you better get out of the mouth of the cave. Because you will never be face to face with God in the mouth of the cave. Because He's the God of the mountain. He called you out on the mountain to stand before Him. But we're too satisfied in the mouth of the cave. Now, I know there are some of you here that are out on that mountain. I can see it in your lives. Man, you're out there, and you're not only out on the mountain, you're looking for the best place to be out on the mountain. That's what He desires. And you feel bad if you're not in the open spot. God, here's an open spot. Is this the spot I'm supposed to be in? And there are some of you that desire and are craving to be at the best place on the mountain where God wants you to be. Then you listen to His voice. So I want to ask you where you're at this morning. You don't have to answer me, but you will have to answer God. Are you under the juniper tree? Are you in the back of the cave? Are you in the mouth of the cave? Or are you out on the mountain looking for the place that God says, I want to meet you there? I don't know where you're at, but He does. And He will give you everything you need to make the journey. But you got to let Him touch you. You got to listen to Him. And you got to go to Him. And the person beside you, the person behind you, mom, dad, brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, cannot make you go. It is a personal decision to accept what God is calling you to do. If He's calling you to accept Him, then please do it. Best decision you'll ever make. If He's calling you to get out of that cave, don't be afraid. The God that sends fire down from heaven, that stops droughts, that gives miraculous power, is out there waiting for you. Get out of the mouth of the cave. Go all the way. Be that person that people say something's different about that person. They're not just that person that goes to church on Sunday morning. There's something different about that person because you're out on the mountain. That's where He calls us to be. Don't miss the voice because He's talking. We just have to listen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, get me out of the mouth of the cave. Lord, watch over us. Lord, You know You'll provide for us. You're so faithful. You love us more than we could ever understand. God, reveal Yourself to us. Show us where we are. Lord, I know You're not settling for where we're at. Draw me close to You. Never let me go. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.